Sharon Mottola visited the small country of Belize in Central America to help with a nature documentary back in 1982. After the shoot was over, the director left her to take care of the animals they'd use. So she stuck a stick in the ground with a sign on it saying Belize Zoo. Today, the zoo exhibits more than 125 animals on 29 acres, and she's a beloved figure in Belize known as the Zoo Lady. But she is also a controversial wildlife conservation activist. And there's a new book about her. It's called The Last Flight of the Scarlet Macaw, One Woman's Fight to Save the World's Most Beautiful Bird, by the reporter Bruce Barcott. And she's our guest today, all the way from Belize. Sharon Mottola, welcome to Fair Game.
Well, it's great to be here.
First, I have to ask, do you think the scarlet macaw is really the world's most beautiful bird? Can you describe what it looks like?
I haven't seen a bird more beautiful than a scarlet macaw. It's hugely brightly red, which is such an incredible color in nature. And it's speckled with blue, bright blue and yellow. And it's just, when you see it, it takes your breath away. And I'm an avid bird watcher. I love bird watching, but I cannot in my memory think of any bird that I've seen anywhere that matches its beauty.
Now, the book focuses on the battle you waged about 6 years ago against the building of a dam that would flood the nesting places of the last scarlet macaws in Belize. Can you tell me how you first got drawn into the cause?
I actually was in that area studying the tapir populations. And
Sharon, will you describe what a tapir is?
Oh, a tapir. Okay. It's one of the coolest animals in the world.
They're so crazy looking.
It's so crazy. It looks like it's made up from leftover parts of other animals. They have kind of a long, flexible nose. They have very odd-looking feet. They have tough, tough hides. They are wonderful, gentle animals. And actually, the tapir was a pivotal creature that really got me started to develop the Belize Zoo, because having worked with them, and there was a prevailing myth in Belize that said the tapir was hugely dangerous because it would skin you alive with its flexible nose. And I laughed, too. That was my first reaction, but I kept hearing that tale. And when you think that this is an endangered species, I mean, they have been wiped out of most of their range in Central America. They're on their way out. A myth that lives on like that does nothing to help see that this species survives into the future. So that really got me started, and I became more and more involved in tapirs. As a result, I went to this remote river valley, and wow, there were scarlet macaws there as well.
Are the scarlet macaws endangered?
Okay, let me throw this question back to you. There are far less than 1,000, I mean, probably between 500 and 1,000, if that, in the countries of Mexico, Guatemala, Belize, and a little north in Honduras. So do you think that's endangered?
Yes. And considering you tell us that they act like married couples and they kind of mate for life, it doesn't seem like they're going to reproduce anytime fast, right?
They are slow at recuperating their populations. The problem with the word endangered is the people who put these terms on birds look at the bird in its entire range. If you look at the bird in South America, they are far more plentiful.
So, Sharon, will you tell me how the dam threatened the scarlet macaws?
Scarlet macaws are very specific nesting site birds. Now, and that entire environment was known to be the primary reproductive grounds for the scarlet macaw in Belize. It has never been found ever, ever, ever in any other part of Belize duplicated. That area was flooded by the dam.
Now, this dam was built to generate electricity, and Belize does have a problem with getting enough power. You know, as the saying goes, you can't make an omelet without breaking eggs. So is it arguably a necessary evil? What do you think?
Well, we have the most expensive electricity rates in the region. Belize was quick under that government to refuse to tie on to the Central American grid. Oh, no, we have to do this dam. Mexico has always been there and eager to sell us cheap diesel, which we still buy. But no, we can't do that. We have to have this dam, which was said to generate 7 megawatts. And I'll put that in layman's terms, enough energy to fuel the running of three hotels. So here's what you had. You had a company called Fortis, totally unprincipled, a government totally corrupt. And do you think that they really gave two thoughts or even more or even less to the Scarlet Macaw? Do you think they cared?
Now, Sharon, with international attention and help from the NRDC, you really caused an uproar, but then you got some payback. Will you tell us about the dump?
The nightmare of my life. That really was the nightmare of my life. And I, looking back, I don't know how I made it through some of those times. But yes, the government decided that the country's largest and only, you know, garbage dump, or they call it a sanitary landfill, would be, you know, stone throwing distance from the back of the zoo. Well, that would have just, not only would it have, you know, been a major threat to the Belize Zoo, but the geology studies showed that it would definitely poison the Sabun River and over 4 to 5,000 people living downstream from this, you know, mess, toxic waste that would be dumped into the river or leach into it, which was right there in the EIA, Environmental Impact Assessment. All of a sudden, 4 to 5,000 people don't have their lives anymore, all because of my actions. You know, yeah, I had a real hard time with that.
That you managed to get them to move, but the sad ending to the story is that the dam was built. Have you been able to track what's happened to the scarlet macaws in that area?
I know that there aren't any nesting macaws in that area. I've flown over it periodically. The macaws have been showing up in different areas of Belize, which was predicted. I mean, it's a scarlet macaw. They're a long-lived parrot unless they're shot or poached. I get reports, oh, I saw 7 macaws. Well, you know what? When I was studying them, we knew there were far less than 200. If you saw 7, maybe there's another, you know, 17 more somewhere. But we're seeing the last of them. In two more generations, I don't think they will be around. If they're not breeding and not, you know, repopulating their scant populations, then we just won't have them anymore.
Sharon, can you please hang on a minute? There's a lot more to your story. I want to hear about when you were surrounded by giant wild boars and you're convinced you're about to die. This is PRI's Fair Game. I'm Faith Saley. I'm speaking with Sharon Mottola about her fight to save the last macaws in Belize. Now, Sharon, will you please tell us the story of how you ended up in Belize in the first place? You joined the Air Force as a young woman. You trained in the jungle. Then you married a dentist in Iowa City. Can you take it from there?
Well, gosh, is that really me? Well, I ended up in Belize because I came here. Actually, I was still married to the dentist, but we lived in Florida where I was going to school, and I was working with an ichthyologist, and a telephone call came in one day requesting for someone to do a fish study / survey in Belize. And the woman turned to me and said, I'm too old for that. Do you want to go? I said, sure. So off I went to Belize to do this study and fell in love with the country, came back, and you know, it's kind of a long story. Believe it or not, I came back from Belize. Another year passed. I then joined the circus and you know, and then dropped the husband, which I should have, you know, probably never done in the first place. But we all have to try everything, don't we?
Sure. Well, you also, I mean, don't skip over the juicy details. You were a lion tamer and not just joined the circus. You were like moving through Mexico, dancing in sequins at night and studying mushrooms during the day, right?
It really was a wonderful life, and I have to say it was a really smart move on my part because my Spanish, I picked up a language. I, you know, had a great adventurous life for a year and got closer to animals, learned more about animal behavior, and, you know, decided that perhaps being married to a dentist from Iowa wasn't for me.
Sharon, what's the scariest encounter you've ever had with an animal? I mean, you've handled lions and jaguars, and I'm sure you've passed by, what are they called, fer de lance, those snakes all the time.
Well, the scariest encounter with an animal comes right to mind when I studied the scarlet macaw with a man who's still a very good friend, a Maya Indian named Greg Shell, and he was very involved in the dam fight as well. We were out in the bush once, and do you know what a peccary is?
I wanted to ask you about peccaries, because they're the wild boars in Belize, and you talk about how bad they smell.
They have I would say awful if you're not a peccary, but it's a very pungent odor that comes out of a gland that's way down on their back. But that's how they communicate. They rub that kind of acrid aroma on trees. And you don't, I mean, when I say they travel in groups of 200 to 400. This is a lot of animals. And if you get on their wrong side, if they, you know, woke up on the wrong side of the, you know, crashed out grass, boy, watch out. So anyway, we were out in the bush and we smelled them. You smell them before you hear them. And sure enough, there we were on the top of a ridge. We were surrounded by hundreds of these animals. And I thought, wow, this is it, you know. And I thought, oh, you know, it looks like my worst nightmare will come true, which is, you know, don't die weird. Because no matter what you do with your life, somebody will say, yeah, Sharon Matola, I can't really exactly recall what she did, but did you hear how she died? So there we were, surrounded, and Greg, my Maya friend, who's maybe 4'2", there was a stump. And I think this is really interesting. The alpha male was definitely coming right towards us. All the peccaries were just gathered around, kind of shaking, clacking their teeth. And he picked up his machete, that long knife thing, and he banged it with all his strength against an old stump. And that metallic sound, can you picture that?
Mm-hmm.
That metallic sound just rang through the jungle. And the hair, I'll never forget this, it stood straight up on that huge male's back. And he started walking backwards, and all the peccaries kind of surrounded him. And they went in a wave up the hill, up the ridge, and disappeared. Do you know, I'll ask you a question. Do you know what the two things that people are just intrinsically, inherently afraid of? Now, you can't stop being afraid of. You cannot stop being afraid of two things. Do you know what that is?
Heights and gaining weight.
and Iowa dentist that you might marry. No, wrong. You failed the pop quiz. Here it is. The two things that you are definitely afraid of are falling backwards and sudden loud noises.
Oh.
And I think that's what happened, and that's what saved us that day.
Sharon, quick question. Does the dentist know where you are?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. Sharon Matola, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for being with me.
Sharon Matola is the director of the Belize Zoo in Belize. You can find out more about her on our website, morefairgame.org.